I had a couple things that perked up and stuck with me based on that. What jumped out to you?
Just the Sam Darnold relationship, for one, and him talking about the Minnesota front. And it's something that Greg Cosell told us yesterday when he joined us about the lineup with three on the line, the lineup with nine on the line, the lineup with three and rush six. They'll have nine and rush two. They do so many different things. Just watching it back again today and hearing Greg Cosell and hearing Brock right there talk about the Minnesota front and how much they try to confuse you. It makes me think this is going to be more of a Brock Purdy game than week one was against the Jets.
And Brock called it in this conversation an illusion fest.
That's right.
He called it an illusion fest. Yeah. I really loved that. And if you listen to Greg Cosell, who, by the way, quick aside, I just saw this on social media, Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker podcast breaking down Deshaun Watson is unbelievable.
Okay, I'll have to look at
it. He's just not a good football player.
Wow.
Like, he just doesn't see it. He is very hard to watch right now.
Wow. Greg, okay.
Wow. Yeah. However, Greg will tell you, Willard and Dibbs every Wednesday, 3 o'clock, Greg will tell you that what Brock does may be better than anyone, or what makes him so special is his ability in those situations, the illusion fest. His ability, when you try to throw something at him that is an illusion, when you try to make it look like this, but it's actually that, that's when Brock excels very well, of processing that change, that sudden change, really quickly, and then exploiting it, therefore not sort of throwing the interception that's trying to be created. That's what he's done very well. So based on that, I might argue that, like, this is a pretty good matchup for Brock Purdy, right?
It can be, and it should be more so having Trent Williams there as opposed to last year. And I mentioned before, I watched back the game from last year, watched the tape, and the offensive line had a difficult time with those sorts of changes. So it's not as easy as Brock seeing it and going, all right, I see you eight defensive linemen all lined up across here. I know you're not all coming, and I'll tell you which four you're going to come and what the other four you're going to do. That doesn't matter if the offensive line doesn't see the same thing and they allow a free rusher through. So Brock's ability to cognitively decipher things is his separation skill, and having Trent Williams back makes me feel better about their ability to handle it.
I noticed one other thing, but I want to give credit to 925 on the Xfinity mobile text line who noticed it as well. Brock has picked up Kyle's stuff when talking about quarterbacks and the, like when there's the quarterback QB, the QB coach marriage, that is, there's never a better indicator of it than the fact that it sounds like Brock is starting to talk like Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, we need him a little bit more monotone and a few more ums, but he'll get there. And I find myself saying some of your isms around the house, and I talk to you 20 hours a week, which is more than I talk to any other human on earth.
What are my isms?
You've got some isms.
What are my isms?
And by the way, that's definitely one of your isms. You're a big by the way guy.
Oh.
And quick aside. It's not so much isms as it is jargon.
Do you have Mila saying that's a no for me, dog?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
But we are starting to string words together, so that'll be the latest.
All right.
I'll teach her that one. Yesterday she learned what mulch is.
Mulch. And in what form? Why is she
talking? We were out for a walk, and I said, that's mulch. And she said, mulch.
Okay.
I said, there you go. Now we know. Add that to your list.
It's a good word for a two-year-old to use because it just does sound like somebody put too many consonants together in a very short word.
Mulch.
Anyway, 888-957-9570. Here's what we're talking about. And then we got to do Fade the Dibbers here in just a sec.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. The Niners won a game without Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk was very, very limited in the game. Did that change the answer for anyone? Because we've had this talk a lot on and off for the last year and a half. Who's the most important 49er? I sort of think about it this way. If there's one player that you could just say, nope, that player is immune to injury, that person's going to be there for the whole year, who would it be? And our candidates were Brock, Christian, Trent Williams, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and other. The correct answer is Brock Purdy. Dibs said Trent Williams. It's okay. Not everybody gets all the answers right. But what's your answer? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Ivan in the city. Hi, Ivan. What are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing, fellas? Just stuck in traffic. Thanks for taking my call. So basically, I just want to mention that I think Kittle is an unsung hero for a number of reasons. If he's not getting the rock, he's blocking for all three phases, you know, the running game, protecting the quarterback, and the wide receivers downfield. And then if he is getting the rock, he balls out, whether it's his slants inside the feet, inside the, you know, middle of the hashes, or in the red zone when he catches, you know, them TDs that, you know, caught, you know, gets us some points. But basically, he's always in the play. He's like, you know, he's like the protector. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's Kittle. I think George Kittle is definitely the man.
But do you think actual, like, most important 49er?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Kittle, if you watch Kittle, say if you had a GoPro on him or just a drone on him for the whole game, I'm sure that man is nonstop, has his hands in all the plays, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like Draymond Green in basketball, you know? Like, you know, he's sitting picks, you know, he's doing, you know, whatever, you know? So I think it's Kittle if, you know, somebody would have followed him around for the whole game. I believe it's Kittle.
I like it. GoPro drone.
I feel like we did kind of have. Thank you, Ivan. I feel like we did kind of have a GoPro on George Kittle's face.
I like
face.
The take. And it's, Ivan could have even added in the fact that he's kind of a glue guy, right? Emotional leader and the rest of it.
I like, absolutely. The only thing I'd argue with Ivan on that, because if you want to pick Kittle, that's fine. I don't think he's the most important.
Right.
He's incredibly, incredibly important. And I do feel like we got a GoPro on him. It was called The Receiver Doc
right,
on Netflix.
Right.
And that's why I would argue with the idea that he's the unsung hero. I think he's incredibly sung. I do think he's a hero, but he not unsung. George Kittle is, gosh, you could argue he's the face of the team. You could argue it.
Yeah, he is certainly a face of the team. The camera finds him, and when the helmet's off and he flips the hair back and you got his wife pushing him around pregame as part of the ritual, and she's actually a celebrity.
Totally.
And I mean, this team has got a lot of celebrities and celebrity wives as well.
How many wives could you name? Their first name?
I mean, probably four or five, which...
Try.
Well, you've got Kristen Juszczyk.
Yep.
You've got Olivia.
That's McCaffrey.
George's is Claire.
Claire Kittle.
And now
Brock's new wife. You know her name?
Jenna.
I don't know. That sounds like maybe.
I'm gonna say Jenna with a little more confidence this time.
Hang
and
on.
If Grandy, you can either give me the.
Yeah! Got it. Okay.
Look at the dimmer.
Well,
stay hot, dimmer.
Be careful now.
That's four.
Be careful, because if it starts getting to a point where you know too much about the players' wives, that gets really creepy.
Spencer Burford has a girlfriend. She lives on.
You better be careful.
Seriously.
That was like great. Great. You're right. You get a ding.
Do I get credit for Kyle's wife, Mandy? Not a player, but.
It's a little creepy. It's getting a little creepy. You know?
Jake Moody went on a date last Tuesday.
Remember when Jimmy went on a date?
Dude. No doubt.
Let's fade the Devers, for crying out loud.
You won't.
Let's fade the Devers.
All right,
come
you won't.
Depends on what you pick. I already know what I'm picking. So I might fade you. I might go with you. I know exactly what I'm doing. Grandy, are you there? Okay, fade the Devers.
It's time for
Fade the Devers.
Please explain.
Nostra Tiblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
That's the part that hurts the most.
Watching your face when they're
me off. Hey, dude.
You're big, dude.
And they uptake me, too.
Yeah, they uptake you, which is a pretty brilliant move.
Go to hell, Dibs.
Nice troll job. Anyway, it's every primetime game all year long. We fade the Dibbers. The Miami Dolphins are 2.5-point favorite against the Buffalo Bills.
This one's pretty easy, to be honest. It's a slam dunk, and you can go ahead and bet the house and follow me, because I'm going to get three straight wins for all of you. Fade me. You're going to lose again. It's clear. It's Buffalo. You take Buffalo, and you take the 2.5, and you say, you know what? I don't even need the the 2.5. They're probably going to win outright, but we're taking the 2.5. Miami's got injury questions. Ashaun A, the running back,
sure.
AKA Achan.
Is he active? He's in, right?
He's hobbled.
Ashaun is active.
Ashaun
or Achan
is active, but he's hobbled, and Mostert is out. And, you know, this week we're focused on DVOA, Mark. Defense adjusted value over average. Buffalo good in week one. Uh-huh. Miami not so good.
Okay.
We're taking Buffalo and the 2.5.
All right, now let's go live to the director of sports at 95.7 The Game, Lucas Alexander, who was seen moments ago. Our cameras caught him clapping vociferously.
Because I delivered the pick.
When the pick was made.
Yep.
Lucas, please explain.
See, here's how it works, Dibs. We all make our picks much earlier in the day, so our fading of the Dibs happens as you speak. And so we are hoping that you pick the other side, and I already picked the Dolphins.
That's funny you say that, because I was on Buffalo like 3 days ago, but I kept it to myself.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Grandy, do you have anything that you'd like to add to this conversation?
He won't.
I'm not on this game.
Oh. Oh.
Which means he liked Buffalo, but now he can't bet it.
That's
because
exactly
I'm on Buffalo. Thank you.
You know what I'm going to do?
I speak Grandy.
You know what I'm
going to
do? I'm going with you. I don't want you.
I don't
want to
fade you, Willard.
I'm not fading you.
I don't want you.
I already picked it.
You're fading Lucas.
I like Buffalo. I'm not even doing the spread. I'm in a confidence pool. I think they're going to win the game.
I think so, too.
Outright.
Yeah.
Love a dog on
Give
Thursday
me more
night.
DVOA, but
we need more dog.
My dauber down right now.
We need more dog.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right. There All it right. is.
There
Major Dibbers.
Yeah.
Buffalo plus 2.5.
Yeah.
Dan, good luck.
Yeah, I like the pick.
We're all counting on you.
It's, you know, the worst thing that could happen is I'd fall back to 500. I need to either go on a heater or be in a deep freeze.
Yeah, you can't go to 500. If you go to 500, there needs to be a penalty for that. Like, it's only week two, but, you know, I mean, last week we had extra games, the Friday night game.
Yeah.
It should be the Thursday, Monday thing for the most part. Or actually, I guess tomorrow we'll have...
Yeah, I'll pick a Sunday game.
I'll pick a Sunday game.
And when the Niners play on Sunday, I will pick the Niner game.
Okay.
That, so you know, give it a little bit of extra juice. And
Niners,
the pick's already in on Sunday,
Niners,
too.
Niners 5.5?
6, I saw.
Let me
but
see.
Maybe it...
Oh, I see it at 5 now.
Oh, wow.
It's careening down the board. Somebody might know something about Christian McCaffrey, who did practice today.
Yes. Yeah, he did. And I saw that everybody practiced who's not on the injured list. Some were limited, but Christian McCaffrey was there, and... He was practicing on a limited basis, and I really don't think that they're going to know whether or not he's going to play until Sunday morning at about 6 or 7 a.m. our time.
Who is the most important 49er now? Okay, is it Brock? Is it Christian? Is it Trent? That's Dib's pick. Let's go Fred. Is it Nick Bosa? Is it other? Or is it Brian Hoyer? He is our show's new best friend. We're besties now. Brian came on with us earlier today, and obviously a quarterback for the Niners under Kyle Shanahan, never won a game as a starter, but that's okay. He's been in that bucket, and he's played for a lot of teams, actually more than I remembered.
Yeah.
When you went over the list, Patriots 3 different times, there was the 49ers, the Browns. Who else am I forgetting? I feel like he was on the Bears for maybe a little while. Let's see. Let me pull this up.
I think it was 7 teams he ended up playing for you. Arizona.
Steelers, Cardinals.
Indy.
Texans.
Raiders.
Colts. And yes, finished with the Raiders just last year.
8 teams in total.
Are you counting the Patriots as one team or 3 teams?
One team.
Okay.
One team.
8 teams, but one of them 3 different times.
Thrice.
So like 11 sort of tours of duty. As a quarterback in the National Football League.
And in fact, other than Cleveland, New England was the only team to retain him. A year in Arizona, 2 in Cleveland, 1 in Houston, Chicago, San Francisco.
Good point.
Indy for 1, Vegas for 1.
Yeah, it's a good observation. Yeah. All right.
Just a classic backup.
There you have it. Yeah, that's exactly who he was. But smart guy, fun guy, his breakdown of Shanahan and Brock Purdy and things going on around the league, we thought was really good. So let us bring a little portion of that back to you. And again, your phone calls, who's the most important 49er now? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now throughout the 5 o'clock hour. But here's Brian, and basically, this is what he said about the relationship between Brock and Kyle.
I saw some people in my comments on my Twitter, or I guess it's called X now, they were trying to say that I was bashing Brock by what I said on Peter Schrager's podcast. And if anything, I was complimenting him because I don't think there's ever been a quarterback who's fit better with Kyle Shanahan than Brock Purdy. And I think that comes from him being there day one with Kyle, and Kyle, you know, just sitting down with him and saying, hey, on this play, on CO Bo, this is the read. And no matter what it is, this is what it's going to be. No matter what the coverage is, this is how I want you to read it. And so he's had him, you know, from the very first moment he stepped into rookie training camp and training him that way, and Brock just understands it better than any other person who's ever played for Kyle, and that's pretty clear. And I think, you know, they're just so symbiotic, and that's why I try to say he's Kyle's avatar out there.
You know, there's an observation in there that I would almost, if Brian were still sitting here, I would ask for a little bit more, because is he talking about just when Kyle is the head coach? Or is he talking about Kyle as the play caller? Because if he's making the statement, listen to me now, that Brock Purdy understands the Kyle Shanahan book better than anyone who's played with him before. That was the statement. Matt Ryan won an MVP with Kyle Shanahan calling the play. Are we saying that Brock Purdy is elevating Matt Ryan?
I don't know if his play is necessarily at that level yet. He hasn't won the MVP, but as far as what I heard him say is he understands what Kyle wants, and he understands what the play design is and how to go through it the way that Kyle does better than anyone else. And that is what I was hearing from Brian. Just the idea of, it's not obedience, because that has a negative term to it, but he understands what the progression is. Kyle tells him, and I think the play was like, oboe or some, he's like,
I don't know, when you run an oboe. I love when football players do that. Yeah. Like, they stick the jargon out there as if we have any idea.
Completely.
Like, that's not English.
No.
I don't know what you just said.
I think he said oboe or obico or something. He's like, you know, when you run obico, it's going to be, the progression is going to be from the left to right. And, you know, Brock knows that. And so that's what I was hearing him say as far as, you know, the Brock-Kyle symbiosis, is that Kyle has a play, he designs it, he explains to Brock the way he wants it run, Brock sees the way it's supposed to be run, and then he goes out and does it just the way Kyle wants.
Well, I think, and the other interesting part about it that I think we can sort of go ahead and say, he is saying this. He is saying that a big piece of what you're seeing here is that Kyle got Brock right away. Like, Brock does not know a damn thing about playing NFL football in any system other than Kyle Shanahan's. So that was not Matt Ryan. That was not Matt Schaub. That was not anybody in Cleveland. That was not Jimmy Garoppolo. That was not even Brian Hoyer.
Like, might have been Kirk Cousins.
Might have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's not something I've really thought about before, which is that Kyle was able to grab someone and just mold him from the beginning. The only comp is Trey Lance.
Wow.
Whatever you want to do with that.
Yeah. It's, you know, hopefully, I mean, Trey's race is not completely run, but that one just looks like a misidentification of talent more than anything else.
Oh, was it?
It was a misidentification sensation is what it was, Mark.
Got it. Okay.
That's absolutely what it was.
And then... Cha-ching! Is Brock just dropping back? Like, Kyle tells me that I'm supposed to drop back, and then when my foot hits the ground on the fifth step,
robot,
I'm going to throw the ball to the right at a degree angle of 17 degrees, and I will, like, is it that? And here's what he says with that.
The NFL is not a perfect world, and no matter how you draw up a perfect play, there's times where it breaks down, and you see that with Brock and using his athleticism, escaping out of the pocket, making throws. And so I think, you know, as it's kind of a compliment really to Brock and the person that he is to come in and say, listen, I'm going to just soak it all in. I'm going to learn as much as I can. And if the play, you know, happens in the timing of the play and I go through my reads, and I remember, you know, I'd never basically been in a system where you tied the reads to your drops. And I remember doing these drills with Kyle, and he's like, all right, on your first hitch, I want you to throw the curl. On your second hitch, I want you to get down to the back. And when I watch Brock play and the offensive line has given him time, he's a very much of a rhythm passer and playing in that rhythm. But also, you've mentioned his gunslinger mentality. If things don't go correctly, it's not like he's a statue in there and is going to just sit there and take a sack. Like, he moves around, he can run the ball, he scrambles, makes some good throws. So, like I said, I mean, clearly the guy, you know, is made of a great makeup, because he was the last pick in the draft, and, you know, last year he's in the Super Bowl. So, you know, just one of those great stories, and clearly he's determined to get better and better each year, and he's got a great coach leading him the way.
Okay, and then the other thing we wanted to share with you, which is seemingly the obligatory Brock Purdy conversation, whenever it comes up that he is a system quarterback, what is Brian's reaction to that?
I think every quarterback's a system quarterback. It depends on what system you're in. You know, I played a long time with Tom Brady, and he, that system developed around him. And to be honest with you, no other quarterback's ever been able to run that system as well as he did. And guys like Matt Stafford have been in different systems. So when people say system quarterback, I go, well, what does that even mean? So to say Brock Purdy's a system quarterback, I say he's a successful quarterback because he's running the system that the coach is asking him to run. Now, are certain guys maybe not fit because of their, you know, is a guy like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, you know, maybe they have different abilities, and it goes to like what Kyle does with his skill players. I think good offensive coordinators see what does my quarterback do well, and I'm going to kind of fit it around that. So, you know, when I kind of laugh at that when people say system quarterback, because first of all, the people who usually say that don't even know what the systems are. And so for people to say that's good, bad, and different, I really don't think they understand what they're talking about to begin with.
Okay, I mean, he kind of borrowed the Greg Cosell answer.
Yeah.
All quarterbacks are system quarterbacks, or else they don't have gigs.
Right, so the system, the Kyle Shanahan system, is set up the pass by running it, and you set the run up by passing it, and you want a 50-50 split, and you do a lot of 21 personnel, as Greg was mentioning to us yesterday, two running backs, one tight end. You saw Saubert a bunch. You had two tight ends in there. You had two running backs. You go to a heavy personnel. You use the outside zone, and you have a bruising O-line, and yeah, your quarterback, you want your quarterback to be efficient. Don't turn it over and make the plays when they're there. So he's a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan because he understands what defenses are doing and he doesn't give the ball away very often.
Who you got? Who's your most important 49er now? Now that we come out of this Monday night experience, there's no Christian. Brandon Ayuk's out there, half speed, dropping balls, and the Niners still hang 32, go on 8 straight scoring drives, double-digit victory over, supposedly, we'll see, it's only week one, but supposedly one of the best defenses in the NFL. Who you got now? 888-957-9570. Jonathan on 880. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling, man.
Oh, of course. It's always a pleasure when I get to touch in with you guys. Anyway, I wanted to give you guys a perfect leadway into it, because I was going to say I believe Brock Purdy is our number one guy going into Minnesota. And like you guys said, it's not just being the system quarterback. We finally have our quarterback. He's gone through all of these, you know, accusations and all of these, you know, poo-poos on Brock Purdy, and he's staying solid. He's being big Brock. And I got to say, you know, just like I called in a couple days ago, I am scared about Minnesota. But after thinking about it, I think we trust in Brock, we trust in Kyle, and we trust in that defense that fired up. The difference last year is you had Nick Bosa, who was also, you know, big contract and all of that. And you kind of saw, you know, the side effects a little bit. I think all that's done with. I think this is our revenge game on the under. We don't really talk about it, but the fans and the players know we're coming in on Sunday and we're coming for blood. And I think Brock's going to reassure everybody and keep that team confident, and we're coming with a win, baby, a big win.
Jonathan, thanks, man. I tell you what, this is what I hear there, and I agree with him. I thought Monday night, whether Brock is your answer or not, I thought Monday night was big for Brock building trust with the fan base. It's an incredibly small sample. It's one football game. But at the same time, you had no choice but to wonder what this would all look like if they ever had to do it without Christian McCaffrey. He's your leading carrier. He's your leading game plan guy. And if you don't have him, you had to wonder at least a little bit. Even those of us who are huge fans and believers in Brock Purdy, you had to wonder, it's like, okay, how's your game plan changing? How are you going to go about moving the sticks? And to see him perform the way he did, whether you want to give him an A or a B or anything in between, whatever you want to give him, I think you had to feel better coming out of the game than you did going in.
Yeah, I felt the same.
Really?
I felt better about Kyle Shanahan and certainly better about J.P. Mason. For me, that game was not about they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. How is Brock going to make this happen? That was about you didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and my God, Shanahan is still able to get over 140 yards from a backup who's never started and 28 totes. For me, that was more confirming what I believe about Shanahan than it was advancing what I believe about Brock Purdy. I entered Brock Purdy with a thought about how good he was, and I exited with a thought that was just about the same. Brock Purdy played as well as I thought he would have, but I was blown away by their ability to run the ball with him against that defense on that night, on that field. That, to me, was the takeaway. Not Brock Purdy. And the nice game.
No, but that's fair. But at the same time, I think you're skipping over a little bit what was going on in people's minds, even as an imagination sort of an idea going back to last year, which is that if you didn't have your failsafe, if you didn't have like all those little dump offs to Christian, then you're not going to be able to get first downs. You're not going to be able to move the ball. Whoever it was that did it, J.P. Mason, Trent Williams, Dominic Pooney, whoever moved chains, Juwan Jennings, whoever did that, you still, the quarterback is the one that's got to select where things are going and figure that all out. You're leading a team down the field or you're not. And you know, if you didn't change your feeling, that's fine. I'm telling you, a lot of people did. I think a lot of people have had that thought. If you don't have Christian, this whole thing, it's just not going to, you're not going to be able to move the ball down the field, because even just the threat to the defense of having Christian on the field is what opened things up for Brock.
I get that point, but I don't know. I don't see it that way. And I don't think, even if Brock Purdy goes out and he misses a few games, I'm not going to throw my hands up and think, well, this team can't possibly score without Brock Purdy. Is it going to be tougher to win games? Probably. If you're going to Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs as your backup, it's a step down, but I never approach it in that fashion. Like, oh, you don't have McCaffrey, how are you going to move the ball? You still have Debo and George and kind of Brandon Ayuk-ish, and who knows what you're going to get out of this J.P. Mason. Maybe he can, you know, maybe he can have the kind of game McCaffrey did last year against Minnesota, where he rushed for 45 yards. He did score on a touchdown pass.
He
had a game that was not his best, but good enough.
Burns in San Bruno is next up. 888-957-957 if you want to weigh in. Burns, thanks for calling. What's good?
Not much. How are y'all?
Excellent, brother. It's Thursday.
Friday Eve.
Yeah. Friday Eve.
All of those things. Bruno Burns, what's up?
Yeah. So I was just going to say, I mean, obviously, you know, Brock is the best. It's the hardest position in sports, right? And he's the best quarterback I've ever seen in a Niners uniform, like, straight up, in my adult life.
I was going to, hold on, Burns, how old are you?
31.
I missed that. Okay.
Ah!
Oh, how did you know?
Because I hear a man, and I can tell you how old he is.
That's no different than you knowing all the wives' names. That's creepy.
Just real quick, Burns, thank you for playing along. If you're not 31, I'll take that.
That was good. I know that you are a closer.
Thank you. You were in need of a closer. Go ahead,
in need
Burns.
Of one, yeah.
Go ahead. I like that.
All right.
All right. Let me close. So,
here comes the big finish.
Most important person on the team is Juwan Jennings. So far in this season, to me, because he had the biggest plays, I think, of the Monday night game. I mean, of course, Brock is the most important person on the team facilitating the offense, and we have other players on defense. I think Fred is the best also, but Juwan Jennings, to me, had the biggest plays of that game, and I just wanted to make sure he got some love, because I know the concentration of the conversation of the sensation is to focus on Brock Purdy. So, love you guys. Jeez.
Okay.
Right on, Burns.
31-year-old Burns.
Yep.
And I just wanted, I think the spirit of what he's saying is fair.
Yeah.
In that nobody, including Burns, actually thinks that Juwan Jennings is the straw that stirs the drink for the 49ers. Good to get his name in there.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you do go back to the way we looked at this throughout the month of August, when everyone was starting to imagine what the Niners would look like without Brandon Ayuk, and everyone was like, Juwan Jennings? Like, is he really, is Juwan Jennings really going to catch 17-yard balls over the middle of the field if there's no Brandon Ayuk? Well, looked pretty good.
Yep.
Look, I mean, we're used to Juwan being much closer to the line of scrimmage. Third and Juwan. But, I'll buy that from that perspective of, like, I think we saw a different side of him that we haven't much seen before.
Yes, and I do think we have to remember his import as we go through the season, because I'm looking at the Minnesota game from last year, and I was struck by the video today when I was rewatching it, just how impactful he was, because Debo went out very early in that game, and Juwan Jennings wound up with 5 catches for 54. And I mentioned before, Brock Purdy threw a bunch of balls down the field, a few to Ayuk, a couple to Jennings, a couple to Kittle. Brock was letting it rip in that game last year on Monday night against Minnesota, primarily to Juwan Jennings, who had the 5 catches. And you mentioned it Monday night. He had a couple more big catches in a game where you had Brandon Ayuk-ish. He played a lot less than he normally does, so you needed Juwan to step in.
Well, and it wasn't just that, like, he played less. I think he's also a lesser player on the plays where he did play.
Fair.
He was. You know? He said it. He was scared to watch the film.
Yeah.
Do we still have that? Yeah. This is what Ayuk said about watching the film of the game.
I think after the game, I didn't watch the film until this morning. I was a little bit scared to watch it, but not as bad as I thought.
And you were scared to watch it?
I was scared to watch it.
Did it just not feel right at the time?
Okay, not as bad as I thought.
Nah,
Yeah, but I mean...
Then he says, oh, what, it just didn't feel right? Nah, that's didn't feel right.
Like, if you watched him move, and maybe this is like, I don't know, maybe I'm making something up in my head. Like, this isn't about the drop, or drops, if you want to call them that. I mean, one of them was a little... I mean, they were both tough catches, but this is the NFL, and yeah, now you're making 30 mil. Like,
yeah, it's a drop when you're making 30
yeah,
mil.
Yeah, like, supposed to... Well, look, the one in the end zone, I love when people are like, oh, it was a diving catch. It was in his breadbasket, though. Like, you're expected as an NFL player to be able to make a catch when you're falling down.
Yeah.
If the ball hits you in the chest and in the arms. So, yeah, that's a drop. The one over the middle of the field that was just kind of a quick slant-looking thing, I just couldn't tell if somebody got a fingertip in there or not, but it looked also like a drop to me at full speed.
Yeah. It was a contested catch.
Yes.
But when you're making 30, and I hate to use that as a caveat for the season.
Even if you're making 14.
If you're making 14, it's a pass breakup. It's no, a PBU it's for the defender.
No, it's not.
You're making 30, it's a drop.
You got to make those. But
anything north of 20, it's a drop. Can we just say that?
No,
can we draw
we can't.
A financial line in
no,
the sand?
No, but I wonder this. What about like on all the other plays? I just didn't think he moved like Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Go back to what Greg has said publicly and to us. He's called Brandon Ayuk twitchy. He's twitchy.
Short area quickness.
That's how he gets open. He didn't look as twitchy. It just didn't look, and it makes sense.
Right.
I mean,
how are you going to be twitchy when you missed 95% of camp? Or you missed all the camp and you just came back for practices and you're not going full go. He didn't play preseason, so how are you going to be twitchy?
Yeah.
You can't expect twitchy after that layoff.
Well, what do you expect from Christian McCaffrey if he plays on Sunday? He didn't go to camp either.
Right. I would expect about the same level of playing time that Brandon Ayuk got, which I'm going to pull it up here momentarily. I think it was about 60%, 65% of snaps. I would bet if McCaffrey is able to go Sunday, the carries are split almost dead even. Steiny said earlier something about 60-40, which would be 15 for McCaffrey, 10 carries for J.P. Mason.
But when we do this, though, we're leaving game flow out. Like that, you know what I mean?
Right,
there's no chance
right.
that Kyle's going into this. Let's say he does play. There's no chance that he's going in going, let's make sure that, you know, Jordan gets 60% of the carries, Christian gets 40% of the... No! Who do we want on the field in this situation? What's the score? What's the time? What's the situation? You know, all of those things are going to come into play if he plays.
Yes, but I do think that there'll be a cap on snaps, a snap cap.
Probably.
Snap cap for McCaffrey. Ayuk officially played 43 snaps, which was 60%.
60.
And only McKivitz and Pooney played 100% because they did go to a lot of the twos in that last drive, the kneel down.
What's normal, though, for Brandon? 80-something?
Yeah. Yeah, Debo played 74%. Ayuk went in at 60. So the only time Ayuk normally would not be in is if they went to 22 personnel, one receiver, and that's normally Debo in those sets.
Yeah. Yeah, he just didn't look right. He just he just didn't look right. And so for me, I know that, you know, you're sort of putting out there that, like, I expected Brock Purdy to be able to do this. I didn't. And actually, I want to go back to the conversation we had that night. Like, I remember saying to you, and this is after Christian got announced as out, I remember saying to you, look, the Jets defense is really good. This has just gotten thrown on, you know, on the 49ers. And look, I'm sure, I think they'll still win. I think they'll still be able to function. It's not like I think they're going to score 30. And we both laughed.
Yeah.
Like,
of course they're not going to score 30.
They scored 30 with field goals, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Eight straight possessions
of
points.
Scores.
Yeah, in a row.
And I know they were given two short fields, but still, like, that's absurd in the NFL.
Yeah.
Eight straight scores is the kind of stuff that was happening in Philadelphia last year. And it felt like, oh my God, like someone's getting undressed right now. And they did. And they never recovered. And I wonder what the Jets are going to, I really do. This is, is the Jets in Tennessee this week? I think they're in Tennessee. And this, to me, that's the kind of game, even though it's week one, that shakes you. I think the Jets came in being like, we're one of the top 10 Super Bowl favorites.
Right, dude, with the shining old quarterback.
You know what got handed to you.
Totally.
Don't you question yourself after a night like that? We got Sauce, and we got Quinnen, and we got Garrett Wilson, and yep. Breece Hall, and Aaron's back, and Robert Saleh's running stairs. Let's go. Fourth quarter gets here. Oh, my God. Where's the plane? Let's go home.
They got thumped. They got thumped.
I think that sticks with you.
It can. Depends on the leadership. And this is where Robert Saleh is going to be tested this year, because the bar has been raised higher than it has been in a long time, and he's on a little bit of a hot seat. So this is where the leadership's got to step in, because you have Tennessee, and Tennessee can be dangerous. Tennessee's no pushover. No one is in the league, but just the systematic way that the Niners were able to score and you had no answer, you had me thinking about the rarity of eight drives with scores in a row. And I looked at last year, the highest scoring game, they had 45 on Arizona, and they scored only on six drives. So
same with Philly, by the way.
Yeah.
They were all touchdowns.
Exactly.
That's the only difference. They were all touchdowns.
Yeah, and these were field goals, but, you know, field goals followed by a three and out from your defense, that makes it great.
Yeah.
You don't have to get touchdowns. Offense is right back on the field.
Can you look up how many times that even happened in the NFL last year?
Oh, with eight straight
scoring drives. Yeah. I wonder if that happened more than two or three times. I wonder if it even happened two or three times. Did it happen at all? You know, I know I'm asking you to go like Elias on us here. Like,
totally.
You don't have to have that.
Live Elias.
Yeah. You don't have to have that. But yeah, that was special. And I acknowledge that I see that sometimes a little bit differently. That doesn't make me right. I absolutely could be wrong on this. Or I don't even know if it's a matter of right or wrong. It's kind of like Grandy's B+, my A, Matty Maiocco's B. There's no right or wrong. It's just a matter of perspective in the way you look at it. You can look at Brock Purdy and a throw to a wide-open Juwan Jennings 15 yards down the field and go, well, yeah, dude, you're an NFL quarterback. Well, I contextually put a lot into that game that made me go, no, that impresses the living hell out of me. If that doesn't impress you, fine. That's fine. But when you're looping balls to George Kittle 25 yards down the field, when you have a throw like that to Brandon, which he dropped, but that was an elite throw that made two people with the last name Manning get up out of their seat. When you do stuff like that, if you want to be not impressed, that's your right. That's your right. But for me, it doesn't work to say, he didn't do anything that impressive. I'm sorry, maybe I'm easily impressed. I found it to be incredibly impressive.
It depends on what impresses you. For me, an offense that runs a play that results in a guy being wide open and the quarterback making an easy throw that the receiver catches, that's impressive. It doesn't have to be a quarterback hanging into the last second and throwing one between three guys to be impressive. ultimately, Kyle wants plays like that where it's great design. Everyone executes. Brock gets back on his back foot. It's like, oh, the guy's open by 7 yards. I think I'll just throw it to him. That's what everybody wants. That's impressive.
We're sponsored by Robert Half. 888-957-9570. Your opportunity is still there for a little bit more to weigh in on this. Who is your most important 49er now? Is it Christian? Is it Trent? Is it Brock? Is it Fred? Is it Nick? Is it other? Those are your options. We're still taking your calls. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
You're funny.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Check it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving this. Football's back.
Football's
sports,
back.
Man.
Sports, man. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get Willard in a really good mood on Friday. No matter what happens. For the rest of the day and tomorrow, James Cook touchdowns make me happy.
Okay.
They just do. They make me happy.
For obvious reasons.
They, well, for our league, one of my other leagues, they make me happy.
You got a couple of cooks.
And the beauty of a Thursday night, thank you, the beauty of a Thursday night touchdown is it lasts 3 days. It lasts 3 days. It's like watching Bull Durham and that. Remember his whole monologue about long, slow, wet kisses that last 3 days?
Yes.
That's what a Thursday night touchdown is like. Because you sit there with that good score with your one player that you have for 3 days. You might be totally wrong. The rest of your team might absolutely stink out loud come Sunday. But for 3 days, you're walking big.
No doubt.
You're like, I'm going to win this week. I'm going to win. Because my guy scored a touchdown.
Right. And sometimes you get the lead and you never relinquish it. So you get the Thursday player. I had Grandy last week in our fantasy league and I had some Thursday action. Got the lead and he was unable to recover. So it was a fun fantasy week knowing that you didn't really have to sweat it. It wasn't quite an Ottoman week because he threatened late.
Yeah.
But the Dibber.
I did not threaten
held
late.
Held on. You got a little Monday night action, I think, from somebody?
No, I had Sunday night action, and then Puka got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Puka.
You hate to see
Puka, that's tough.
Yeah, tough game.
Yeah.
Physical sport.
I'm already ahead of Spadone 10-0.
Nice.
I will be taking that with me on my walk to the car, walking big.
I got the goo.
Walking real big.
So,
oh, you do?
There might be a little crossover trash talk tomorrow. I got the goo. And unlike last year,
wow.
I actually kind of like my team. I like my chances this year.
Oh, no.
It's early.
I want to go back to the phones. I'll just say this. It's one sentence.
Please.
There's nobody better in the history of ever to play fantasy football against than Goo.
Okay.
He is the most fun opponent. He'll text you.
Yep.
He'll smile if he loses. He'll laugh at it. There's constant communication the whole time. I'm at the Niner game, and he's watching Breece Hall.
I was sitting
the
next
Niners
to him.
The Niners are up by 20 or whatever.
That's
the
incredible.
Most, I wish I could play him every week. I wish I could play him every single week. But I can't.
Yeah.
All right.
It's bothering me.
Well, you're 0-1. So anyway, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Lamar in San Jose. Hey, Lamar. What's cooking?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Excellent.
You hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
So, when it comes to the most important Niner, I would definitely say it depends what you're asking. If you're asking for them to, if they're just the winning team, just the playoff team, then it's Kyle Shanahan, it's been proven. If you're asking what, if your goal is Super Bowl, then it's without a doubt Brock Purdy. They've been a winning team with pretty much any running back there. They've been a winning team with different variations of quarterback, even though it's Jimmy, Brock, and I guess you could say Trey Lance. And then they've been a winning team pretty much with different variations of their defense, different people in there other than Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. But when it comes to trying to get to that Super Bowl hunt, it's always been about the quarterback. So it's definitely Brock.
You know what, Lamar? You said something interesting that I think is going to spark a little discussion here. Thank you for the call. It's a good call. And I like the way you laid that out. But he tucked into all of that a sentence that actually I found to be the most interesting thing he said, which is that when your last name is Shanahan, you get production out of running backs, all kinds of running backs. No one's going to argue against the idea that Christian's the best. Christian's the best he's ever had. He's the best in the game right now. Such a Swiss Army knife. He's incredible. But this is last Monday's game is at the core of the point I made to you last year, which is that the Niners, at least in a short stint, can win without Christian McCaffrey. Because anyone with the last name Shanahan has done this repeatedly in his career, which is grab a running back and get the running game going at the highest of levels.
Well, this Shanahan has done it.
Yeah, 147 yards.
Breida, Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr.,
yeah.
J.P. Mason.
Keep going.
Oh, I mean, there's so many other guys who didn't last as long or do as well. Elijah Mitchell.
Yep.
The aforementioned Trey Sermon had a little stint.
Well.
Ty Davis Price couldn't cut it. Tevin Coleman, an Atlanta cast-off retread who came in here and did things. Jamichael Hasty. I'm thinking of the other guy, the guy who was the really good receiver, super fast guy who got hurt.
Really good. Jet McKinnon.
I was stuck on McKinnick.
Yeah.
And I knew that was just an amalgamation. Double
Colton McKivitz?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Double ACLs.
Right.
Jet McKinnon.
But, I mean, he's done it or tried to do it with a number of different running backs.
Well, I don't know if this is fair, but my mind also goes here. Like, if you're a quarterback or a running back, like, so shout out to Trey Sermon and Davis Price and Trey Lance. If you're a quarterback or a running back and you don't look good under Kyle Shanahan, woof.
You might not be good at all.
Has anybody ever at those positions not succeeded with Kyle and then gone somewhere else and been awesome?
No. Jimmy was probably the closest to it, and he was anything but awesome.
Right.
Mullins is a backup. Beathard has been a backup. Garoppolo has
been
relegated to backup.
Someone did those numbers a couple years ago. Those quarterbacks have all of them, the best numbers of their career are when they're with Kyle.
Trey Lance is now QB3. I mean, just the guys he's had here. Brian Hoyer left to call us. Relegated to sports radio caller.
Sermon still has a gig. He's still in the league. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you can't have a career, but if I was a GM around the league and I'm looking at a running back or a quarterback that's not succeeding with Kyle, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to be like, let's acquire that guy. Let's not give a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance if he can't succeed in Kyle Shanahan's system.
The only thing that would sway you would be if the running back in question was really good at man-to-man blocking schemes, straight-ahead running schemes, because the way Shanahan does it with the wide zone, it takes a certain talent. It takes a certain kind of running back. But I don't think Kyle would ever bring in those types of running backs in the first place.
Right.
Guys who were just straight ahead, like Derrick Henry is just one cut and, get square and go.
That's interesting. I wonder if he would like a running back like that. I mean, earlier in his career, it's kind of like, how can you not? But
he did it with Alfred Morris here.
But Derrick he's never been a great pass catcher. And Kyle loves that. He wants that out of the backfield.
Even though he didn't have it Monday night, and still they put up 30-plus.
Yeah. I mean, J.P.
Mason with the one catch.
And he spent the entire offseason working on that. Why? I would imagine someone told him to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Carl on 580. Hi, Carl. What's going on?
How you guys doing? I think it's easy. The caller was on to something, but he kind of messed it up with his choice. I don't want to say his name out loud because I don't want to jinx it. But he's on defense. He's a linebacker. Long hair. I think hands down, we've proven we can get production from other people, other positions. Even that quarterback might not be the best production, but we can get production. But we have not seen what it looks like without that guy in the middle. I think hands down, if he's out, we have a problem.
Carl, thanks. You're the first one to really dive deep into that answer, and it's not a bad one.
It's a great answer.
He's talking about Fred Warner, and I wonder.
He asked you not to say his name.
I know, but I didn't listen. This is a problem I have sometimes. Like, you look at these players that we're talking about, how many of them would you say unequivocally they are the best at their position in the game? Because you wouldn't say that about Brock.
No.
You'd say it about Trent.
George, you'd put in that category.
Maybe.
Christian.
Trent.
Fred.
Nick.
Nick's in the conversation.
In the conversation. definitely in the conversation.
I don't think unequivocally you'd say that about anybody other than Trent.
Oh, I'd say it about Christian. He's the best running back in the game. That's I don't even think you can argue that.
Okay. I mean, so far he's dead last in the NFL in rushing and receiving
yards.
That's
not fair. He's 0-0.
I don't deal in fair or unfair, Mark. I deal in facts. Okay? God. Thank you, Granny, for the ding. I didn't even have to look that up.
Speaking of Granny, there's a phenomenal text here on the Xfinity Mobile text line. This is a fun one. 925. Thank you for listening and thank you for texting in. Writes, amazing show today, guys. Solid B+ on the Granny scale.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
That's someone who's been here all damn week long. That's what I like about that.
It's perfect.
That's someone who's been here for more than a minute.
I do like the caller's Fred Warner call, because if he has another 3 or 4 years like this, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, when you look
at, like, if you look at where he's trending, 3 All-Pros, 3-time Pro Bowler, among the leaders among linebackers in forced fumbles, he'll hit you with some sacks, the occasional sack, interceptions. He's an unbelievable tackler.
He's the best.
He's the complete package at linebacker. Yeah. If this team ends up getting a Lombardi and he plays 3 or 4 more of these years, he's going.
Yeah, he's like, he is easily the biggest leader on this team that's not a boombox guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's more of on like the spiritual leader side as opposed to the energetic leader side. Big, big deal. Can't understate him by any stretch. Grandy, what are you doing? What are you doing here in a couple of minutes? You want to do radio? Like, what's happening?
Do I want to do radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So what are you going to do?
We're going to hear from Brian Hoyer coming up.
Yeah.
He was awesome with
you guys.
Very and then the morning roast as well, talking about whether or not maybe we've all been a little too harsh on Brandon Ayuk through this whole process.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, me too. I look forward to that.
Have we been too harsh on him?
I don't know. I'll have to hear their arguments. I can't imagine.
No, what do you think?
No, too harsh on him?
I
don't think so.
Me neither.
I mean,
me neither.
You said that you were out on him.
I could argue that we haven't been harsh enough.
Yeah.
If the Niners had lost that game on Monday night, this entire week would have been about him.
No doubt. And I said that a month ago, that he's going to have different scrutiny this year. So I look forward to hearing the boys from the morning break that down.
Yeah, we'll hear that first, and then we'll hear Hoyer.
Okay. All right, great.
Back burner.
Now I got to run to the car. Seriously. All right, that's brought to you.
I got the app.
Fremont Bank celebrating 60 years. So do I. A full-service banking with no compromises. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yes, it's fun.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It is all you got.